Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three here on Primetime. Patrick Harris with you sitting in a wannabe sports bro. But hey, right across from me, that's Isaac Rob. He does this job.
What's up, bro?
I am fascinated by the concept of Isaac Rop being the most famous guest on his own show.
Yeah, well, I don't know about famous.
Can you be a guest on your own show?
I'm a guest host today.
Guest host, yeah. That makes you a guest.
I'm filling in for Souk.
You are filling in for Souk.
I came hard today.
I'm filling in for you.
Yeah.
It's a weird concept.
Yeah, it's odd, but I don't hate it.
No. It's kind of fun, right?
I've been great.
I've been mediocre.
You know,
I think this is
all
right.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's okay.
Hey, look, it's just a day. We're just trying S out. We got a new boss now.
Yeah, we got a new boss. That is the breaking news of the day. For those of you that didn't join us at 3 o'clock, we had the new brand manager, program director, whichever you want to call it, here at The Fan, one Dusty Hera.
Dusty's taking over.
Dusty's the boss now.
For Jeff. And he's leaving his show.
He's leaving his show.
It's a big career pivot for Dusty, but we couldn't be happy for him. We love him here. He's very well respected here, and he's going to do a great job.
We kind of interviewed him a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour right at the beginning of the show, so go check out the podcast if you want to hear that. Look, and like Rob said, you know, we'll hammer on this again. It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, couldn't have happened to a better guy, and I would be shocked if there's anyone in this building that even says, I don't know, let alone...
Right.
That's a bad move. Yeah. I think every single person in this building is on board with that, and that's awesome.
There's only five people in the building.
Well, right now, there's only three.
But he's got 100% of those five people.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Right now, there's only three.
He did get a lot of congratulatory emails.
Yeah, I know.
Boy.
Which are really annoying.
I love it.
Is that a little performative?
Yes.
Very much.
I mean, it's nice that we all announced it, but do 12 people have to chime in? Way to go, Dusty.
There was a moment. There was a moment where you ever start thinking to yourself, oh man,
do I look bad if I don't?
Yeah, do I look bad if I don't?
No. I do go the opposite way. So I am definitely not sending
emails. I have hit reply all on one email in my entire career here at Odyssey.
And what was that?
2 months ago, yelling about my 10-year anniversary.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
I missed it.
It was the, actually pretty neat.
It was the birthday and anniversary email that went out for March.
They do it every month.
They do it every month.
I don't know who does it.
And I took personal offense for not being on the March one as it was my 10-year anniversary.
They left
you
off?
Hit a reply all.
God.
Just to be a jerk.
Okay, passive aggressive.
Yeah, and then I found out my 10 years in April.
You moron.
It was we were up at Fan Madness. That's
you fired.
That's
how about that, boo-boo?
That's when I did it. So congrats to the fan, man.
Yeah.
He is in charge. And yes, like Rob said, they'll be looking for a new host. I imagine we get Danny and friends for a little bit in the afternoon. But hey, maybe it's one of you kids out there on the streets, huh? If you're on I-5 and you want to be the new host, honk your horn.
I think there's going to be, well, I know there's going to be some really exciting things coming at the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Can't talk about them yet.
Love that tease. That's my favorite tease. There are going to be some real cool things. You just don't know about it.
Just wait.
Hold on, everybody.
Just wait. Dusty's going to help usher that in for us.
If they do come through, they're really great. They're really rad.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really cool stuff coming down the pipeline.
A lot of percentages being thrown around here. Like, ooh. Oh, well, 95%. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, stocks.
And boy, that scares the hell out of me because it's like, I know Odyssey.
You got to come in hot, though. Speaking of coming
in Odyssey Station.
Speaking of coming in hot, the Knicks take down the Pistons last night, and Jalen Brunson drops 40. And while I'm watching this game, I'm kind of thinking to myself, "Boy, I kind of want Detroit to win." But it's fun to see, you know, dudes be dudes like Jalen Brunson, and it kind of had me thinking, you know, the stars are aligned, and each sport is kind of different. Stars were aligned for the Knicks to play Boston. NBA loves that. That's a ratings bonanza. Like, they're so excited about that. But I'm the kind of guy, and maybe this is just my weird sports dumb, I'm the kind of guy that would have rather seen Detroit take a shot at him. I kind of like these budding teams growing and kind of getting into the moment and seeing how far they can push that moment, as opposed to just knowing the AFC championship is Buffalo KC.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like seeing...
You like fresh blood.
Yeah, you know, but sometimes it's
I don't know.
It's different in each sport.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't like the Knicks all that. I mean, I don't think they're that...
Well, I don't think so either. I think that's kind of why I wanted Detroit.
Maybe, but I also think Detroit's even more like that
series...
Well,
they need a guy. Talking about the Lakers need a guy.
Yeah,
Detroit
needs a guy. But that series did nothing for me.
No.
No.
Each game, like... Total margin of victory is like 15 points.
Yeah. And you know, Jalen Brunson, man, and I heard Jay Williams say that Jalen Brunson is the greatest Knick of all time.
Dude, slow down.
What is happening in...
Is that really where we are with the NBA?
That. He said that.
Who said that?
Jay Williams.
Oh, God.
And I assume he was being serious. Yeah, that's dumb.
We don't have to goat everybody out there. We just don't have to do that.
I mean, Carmelo is a better Knick than Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even close.
And he's not even near number one.
Have you heard of Patrick Ewing?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I'd take John Starks. Give me John Starks over Jalen Brunson.
Johnny Starks. But Brunson is awesome to watch.
He is great. He is great.
Unless he's foul baiting, which is half his game.
Another Nico Harrison departure.
Look at you just bagging on Jalen.
Oh, he's a hero last night, but the previous three games, nobody could stand him because he's jumping in defense, shooting up threes.
Well, I think that's kind of what's cool about Jalen Brunson is he's not a very good basketball player. He's just a very good athlete. You know? I mean, when I watch Jalen Brunson and he takes a shot, I'm not like... Man, that guy is a pure shooter.
No, he's more crafty than he is.
Yeah, he's a really good athlete. Apparently, he's the most clutch player in the NBA.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm looking at a list of greatest Knicks of all time. They have Carmelo sixth. This is from...
He didn't do anything there.
But he was...
Scored a bunch of points.
Hey, better than...
Well, who's above him?
Okay, so they've got number one is Patrick Ewing.
Yep.
Number two is Walt Frazier.
Okay.
Number three is Willis Reed. Okay. Number four is Earl the Pearl. I forgot
Earl
about him.
Earl the Pearl, baby.
Monroe. And then number five is Dave Brashear.
Mm.
I don't know who that is.
DeBusher, I think.
Is that? Okay. Never heard of him.
I feel like he said that making fun of us.
Bernard King, Bill Bradley, Allen Houston. Okay, so now we're into the
now.
Allen.
Yeah, when Allen Houston is there, Jalen Brunson can enter the chat.
Yes, I'm going to stop scrolling.
Yes.
But so I don't know, it's fun to watch him. I think Knicks Celtics will be. I think that's pretty cool. Pretty cool series.
And I'm actually kind of the opposite. I don't think it'll be that cool because, like you said, I don't think the Knicks are very good.
I think I saw that the Celtics are minus 900 to win the series.
Are they really?
Like, they're not giving the Knicks any chance.
Wow. Okay.
What's in five? Boston in five? Boston in six? What's Vegas say? Like, what does minus 900 get you?
Let's find out what the most popular series score is. I bet it's 4-1.
So I think that's why, I think I'm more interested in having Detroit in there. Even if Detroit gets swept. And even if Detroit gets gentlemen swept, is that not what we're going to see with New York?
I think the key for me is I need some semblance of the underdog having a chance to win. And I think the Knicks could
give you more of
the Celtics. I don't think the Pistons could.
Like the Villanova boys could have a shot if they get hot.
Yeah, I mean, I love the underdog, but the underdog has to be like interesting in a sense of like, oh, watch out. Whereas Pistons, if they got in there, it wouldn't be, oh, watch out. It's like, oh, that's cute. Now the Boston's going to roll them.
Yeah. And I guess I just want to see that projection. Or that, not projection, that progression.
Progression, yeah.
Yeah, just kind of see where you go. I mean, it's not as fascinating as, say, like, out in the West, where it's like...
Dude, the West is going to be great.
Where it's like this game seven between Denver and the Clippers. It's
yes.
Like,
I saw
and we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that.
Up. But in the East, would you rather watch Cavs Pacers or Knicks Celtics?
I might be Cavs Pacers.
Yeah, because I like my Pacers. But
I like your Pacers too. They were my team growing up as a kid.
Before
I moved here.
Why?
Reggie. He's my favorite player of all time.
Side note. What do we think of him as a broadcaster?
Very good.
I know everybody loves to dog on him, but I think people love to dog on him because other people love to dog on him. I think he is fine. I do not think he is amazing.
Boy.
But I think as color commentators for the NBA go, I'd rather have Reggie than Mark Jackson.
Would you?
Oh, thank God Mark Jackson's not there anymore. But Reggie's
pretty rough.
Fine barely gets you there for Reggie with me. Like he is.
Yeah,
he's not very good.
He's not great.
I think the problem.
But he's got a fun. There's something about him that's palatable.
He's got a voice.
Yeah. He's
voice
still likable, but he's just not a great analyst.
Yeah, he's not a great analyst at all. You could tell he loves the game and he's
kind of caught up in it almost like a fan.
Yeah.
I think another thing that works, you know, Reggie, as I said, Reggie's my favorite player of all time. When I was a kid, you know, it was easy to love Jordan, and I chose this other dude named Reggie Miller. I think what's tough with Reggie is I think his reputation when you watch him on TV and he talks, he doesn't seem like a big S talker. You know, he seems kind of like a nice guy, nice, happy guy. But he sometimes tries to talk like the actual trash talker he was on the court. I think there's a lot of disparity between what you think he is and what he actually was. Mm. And he's actually being more of who he is, and it's not living up to your stereotype.
Maybe, but I just listened. I mean, he doesn't really offer me much.
Sure.
I mean, he doesn't really, like, he has lots of oohs and ahs and like, oh, look at that. But he doesn't really analyze anything.
I feel like we get that a lot in all the sports, though.
No, we do.
Like, what does Tom give you?
Tom who?
Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom's braids?
Yeah.
Again,
Tony Romo. They're not giving me much.
I honestly thought that, well, Romo.
Used to.
Romo's just kind of annoying. I think he's a good analyst. He knows what he's talking about. It's just that there's something about him that annoys people.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, I don't think is as bad as people say, but
he also needs time.
He's a stiff. Yeah, he needs time.
He needs time.
Sure. But I think Reggie's
been doing it for a while, though. Yeah. Tom's new at it. That's his excuse.
I also think Reggie has really good play-by-play guys. I mean, he's with Harlan.
Well, yeah.
Dude.
And the TNT brand as a whole is the best.
That makes him look way better. Like, in other words, I think we would be all over Reggie Miller if he had a way worse play-by-play guy that couldn't kind of drown him out.
I know you don't watch, or I don't know if you do, though. Let me speak for you. But the TNT hockey coverage is very similar.
Never seen it ever once.
And what I would say is somebody who's, you know, who needs to learn a lot about hockey when I watch, Gretzky doesn't offer you a whole lot when he's on there, but everybody else around him makes him look so good.
Okay. Well, it's nice to have him on.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to have him on
it's
there.
It's the great one.
But the content that he gives you is not fantastic.
Right.
But the guys he's surrounded by make him look pretty good. I mean, they probably also all revere him.
Well,
you know,
they probably bow down
to him, and when he says something, somebody comes in and says it a little more eloquently or a little more to the point.
I think what Wayne's trying to say here.
Good call, great one. Yeah, yeah, he totally...
Let me say that another
stick and puck. What did you call Suk? Oh, I guess that'll come up.
That's recorded, dude. Come on, man.
Let's flip to the West, where it is a very, very different series. I don't know if I would absolutely touch this with a 10,000-foot pole. This is prime time. That's Isaac Rupp. I'm Patrick Harris. Buck on the ones and twos. Today to the Fan.
This is a great song. But it's not far
down to paradise. I'd like to hear Schulte take a look at this.
Yeah. Definitely.
But it's not very croony, though. Christopher Cross's voice is so different.
Yeah, but Schulte can make anything croony.
He probably could. Yeah, he could hit this.
Would you like to hear Christopher Cross sing anything other than Christopher Cross?
I don't think so.
He's uniquely suited. I mean, it's just...
Trying to think what else his style would sound good on. It's hard to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, could he do like some Bublé type stuff?
Maybe. I mean, he's one of the godfathers of yacht, is he not?
Yacht rock, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Such a fascinating place, yacht rock.
You seen the doc yet?
No.
Dude, watch
really
that.
Really yeah. good.
I'm so worried that yacht rock, that the phrase has become, because like I see this in like discussions about more modern bands, and everybody's so quick because you put out something that's kind of catchy and poppy, and it's like, oh man, yacht rock throwback. I feel like it's one of those things like everybody's so quick to label anything as yacht rock.
What was that thing called, Buck?
It was called Yacht Rock, a documentary, but they spelled documentary like D-O-C-K.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like being on the
like
dock.
Like a doc.
It's on HBO Max. It came out last fall.
It's really, really good.
What are some of the really bands good. They highlight?
What are some of the what?
Bands that they highlight.
Well, Kenny Loggins is in there a lot.
Kenny Loggins, Paul Michael Notes, McDonald.
Michael McDonald.
The other thing is that the dudes who are from Toto, the really cool thing about the documentary, at least for me, was that Yacht Rock is like this crazy web of everybody played on everybody else's albums and everybody sang backup for everybody else. And like, you don't realize how interconnected kind of
I mean, Michael
all,
McDonald
all of it is.
And Steely Dan and the Doobie
exactly.
Brothers.
Yeah. And he was also singing backup for Christopher Cross, who sang backup awesome. For somebody else or played, you know, it's really cool.
And how it was born. You know, it talks about why it became a thing. It's great. You should watch it, you son of a bitch.
You would like it.
Well, I ain't got nothing else going
True
on.
True story.
Here. Might as well.
Yeah, you're unemployed.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I'm
Especially
retired.
Especially after today.
I'm retired.
Yeah, right.
That's what I like to say to people. Yeah, I'm retired. Houston, Golden State, that do anything for you tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah?
100%.
Think Houston has it in them?
I think they're going to give them a battle, yeah. I think the Warriors will win. I love that series. That is my favorite series of the whole first round. That series has been a battle.
Agreed. Now I'm curious how.
Oh, except last game.
Now I know
was
that
a blowout.
I know that they are better, quote unquote.
Who?
Houston. Than
Not really.
Detroit.
Oh.
But how come you're pro Houston? Are you pro Houston?
I'm not pro Houston. I love the Warriors. Okay. I'm a huge Curry guy. I don't love the Warriors. I just like to watch Curry. I'm not. Pro Houston, I just think they can give them a game. Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a cakewalk to into the next round for the Warriors.
And I've always been a Warriors guy because Klay Thompson, because that's my guy.
Your boy.
That's right.
The Coug.
I lived across the street from him in college.
He seems like a Coug. He's kind of low-key, down to earth.
Great dude.
Nice You're welcome guy. For me being here today.
Can I just, this is going to piss you off.
Go for it.
Because I try to get Buck pissed off with this, but it doesn't work because Buck's pretty good at deflecting my... jab.
Plus, he's just taken the abuse long enough that...
Yeah. Buck's been one of the best at taking our jabs. There are others that have not been.
Oh, I know some of your previous that aren't as...
I learned pretty quickly.
Fill-ins.
The harder you dig in, the worse it gets for
correct.
You.
Yes, yes.
Especially with Sakani.
It's like we used to... This girl in high school, her house got TP'd, you know, toilet papered, something like 17 weeks in a row. Mm. And she would come to school every Monday just, who did this? Blah, blah, blah. And that's why I kept getting it done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, overrated.
Chucker. Klay Thompson, appropriately rated.
I'm just telling you my opinion.
Klay and Thompson, why is that? Why is that?
Underrated.
Chucker?
Don't like his game.
I love his defense. Well,
so that's
three
my thing.
ACLs and Achilles.
There was a brief point in time before his injuries, he was the best two-way two guard in the league.
Without a doubt.
And I respect that.
His
I
three
that.
Not
his
much
three
of a ball
D,
handler, never
his
was.
His 3-and-D was the ultimate 3-and-D.
He would get on these, I don't know, he gets white hot.
For
like,
sure.
He just gets
hotter than like any shooter ever.
Yeah, ever.
It's really amazing. But he tries to do that too much, for my liking. Yeah. Like, he would be a maddening guy to be on my team if I were a fan of that team.
I also think I wouldn't be shocked if there's something that kind of, like, you and Steph are peers, you know? Steph was there 1 year before him. So it's like, you guys are more peers than looking up. So I think, I wouldn't be shocked if there's something in his brain that's like, that guy can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, Curry did that to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They all think they're Curry.
But now he's the older man, and, look, and now they are not his peer.
Clay's good. Yeah. And
he's a Hall of Famer.
Obviously.
He's a Hall of Famer.
And I don't even want to call him overrated. I just think for my taste, I just don't like the high volume chucker guys.
See, I always thought he was pretty efficient. Like, he didn't, yep, he didn't force stuff because he didn't really have the game to, and he had others to defer to. Like,
but to Rob's point, great. 40 points with 11 dribbles in a game.
That's amazing.
That's
efficiency.
Amazing.
Portrait of efficiency.
Dude. I think that's awesome.
I hate you both.
So I was a Warrior. I'm pro Warriors because I watched Draymond in college. I watched Steph in the tourney at Davidson, and I'm a Clay guy. And I think Kerr's a pretty damn good coach. But I'm kind of
love him.
I want to be pro Houston so bad for the same reason I was pro Detroit.
But what's
the
cool
problem
about
is
Houston?
I hate Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
I cannot stand people like that.
Give me the best thing about the Rockets.
The rise in their build.
What?
It's all storyline for me. It's not individual
just that
players.
They're young and
it's that, yeah, it's that this team had the number one overall pick not too long ago. And now they're good. I kind of like that. It's that fresh blood. Like, I'm waiting on Orlando to pop. You know, I want to see Orlando pop and
they need
Houston
somebody
popping
other than
cool.
Banchero.
Yeah.
My God.
But that's kind of what I like. That's what I want to see. The problem is that I absolutely despise Dylan Brooks, and it actually has nothing to do with being a Duck. I just can't stand people like that.
You know me. I don't watch a ton of NBA.
Yeah.
So when I started watching the playoffs, but I like the playoffs.
Sure.
So when I started watching the playoffs, I was shocked at, I kind of had the, that's Jalen Green moment, you know, like, mm-hmm. I was shocked at how he just wasn't
the guy.
Not at all. Like, yeah. I was like, wow, okay. So they don't, I don't know, they just don't have that Şengün guy I like.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of cool and
Şengün.
Fun. Or whatever.
Şengün.
Şengün. But I don't know, there's not much to, you talk about needing a dude. Houston.
They might get Durant.
Yeah.
They could get Durant. They've also been rumored for Giannis.
For Giannis as well.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that be great? Where do we want Giannis to go? That's an interesting question.
I personally want Giannis to stay in Milwaukee.
Ah, come on.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. I like players that play for the same team.
Like George Brett.
You got it, dude.
Giannis to the Lakers.
Gross.
Terrible.
It'd just be so annoying.
Giannis to...
Well, Giannis and Luka would be the weirdest duo ever. I do not see their games, like, meshing well.
What about Giannis to OKC?
Well, that would be stupid. Like, because then he doesn't have to be the guy. Then he's just...
Good?
And then he, oh, yeah, yeah. Then he's just...
That would be amazing.
He's just paint presence.
I got to tell you, I think I'd like that. I'd like to see that.
I think I would like that, too.
Giannis to Houston. Giannis to... who? Like, what is Phoenix doing? They can't afford it.
They're in salary cap hell.
Team him up with your boy Curry in Golden State.
No, I've already seen that before. I don't want to see that again.
What do you think? Are they talking about that?
Yeah.
He's the next Durant?
Warriors fans are talking about that.
I think
for Giannis, because I like him so much, I kind of want to see him not in a major market. Does Golden State count as not a major market?
No, that's a major market.
Yeah, that's a major market. Yeah, but I like the OKC thing, you know? What if he went to Orlando on that team? You know, I just don't want to see him a Knick. I don't want to see him a Celtic.
What about the Nets? For some reason, he's rumored to, or like the Nets are like high on the odds list.
They're just because they're just willing to spend money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already seen walking around New York City like days after the season ended. Seriously.
So he's
already projecting where he's going.
Maybe that's just where he wants to be.
Ooh, what about the Heat?
I mean, he'd be great.
That's an interesting thing.
He'd be great there, you know, but what do you got to give up to get him?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Keep Bam and get him?
I don't know if you can keep Bam. You're definitely not keeping Hero. They finally trade Tyler Hero.
Spurs.
For the superstar. I mean, that would be insane.
There you go.
That would be insane.
The freak and the super freak.
To Aaron Fox and
Wemby.
Wemby, dude. Wemby and Giannis on the same team.
It's the freak and the super freak.
Wow. Yeah. I'm in on that.
Last thing I want to get to in basketball before we slide over to Mr. Harrington here is we were talking about this on Wednesday. If there's any series that can prove why you don't need seven games in the first round, it's Clippers Nuggets.
Why?
Because it's all for the whole thing in game seven, and I don't see anybody blowing anybody out.
Oh, so you're saying five games we'd figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Three games we'd have figured it
out. Who won game five? Was that Nuggies? Yeah,
Nuggies. The Clippers. And then the Clippers rolled them last night.
It wasn't last night. Was it?
Yeah.
Was that last
night? Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah. But that's to your point. You were saying this on Wednesday, like seven games in the first round is not needed. This series needs one game.
I've always been an advocate that seven games too long in the first round.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That's a series right there.
This is a one game. Should have been from the beginning.
I kind of like the Clips.
You know, it's really hard for me to get behind James Harden. When Kawhi is available.
I mean, in the game.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I like them. I'm just saying I like them. To
win. Oh, in the game?
Yeah. A road game seven, would you? Because they're plus money.
They are?
Today. They're plus money.
I think I'm the Nugs. I think the Nuggies can get through this. I worry about them here on out. But I think Jokic can turn on something. That guy can dominate any game against any team. He is the best player in the world.
That he is.
And that's why I would
neither
lean
that
way.
Neither of them going to beat the Thunder.
No. But I think I would like to see Jokic and the size of the Thunder together.
Yeah, because they have a ring.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see that. I think that's more must-see TV. I think the Clippers is just waiting for fat James Harden to be fat and
yeah, I don't like
Kawhi that. To be unavailable. And then it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Then it's like, thanks for playing.
T-Wolves Warriors or T-Wolves Rockets, which is a better series?
Oh, T-Wolves Warriors.
More interesting
Anthony
series?
Edwards is must-watch basketball for me.
Ant.
I'm not a big NBA guy, but boy, Ant is becoming my
favorite player.
And
Draymond trying to shut down Ant will be good theater.
Ant's becoming my favorite player in the NBA.
I see y'all motherfuckers for game seven.
Yep, well, that'll do it for us. Coming up next, we have Joey Harrington stops by. We'll talk some Cougs, and we'll ask him about
Shadour Sanders. Just going to talk Cougs Sanders. Joey doesn't care about the Cougs.
Look, I'm going to dominate this, all right? Look, number two, shove it.
Right. You rarely have good questions.
Joey,
he hates me anyway, so.
he was just mad that Sook's not here.
Yeah.
Joey next, but first, Buck with sports.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Fridays means story time. Joey Harrington joins us here on The Fan, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. It's been a couple weeks. Did you miss us?
I was like, don't just like right from in here like you didn't abandon me. I get this cryptic text a couple weeks ago saying, no show. It's like, no show? What do you mean? Like, and where were you?
Oh, me? I was off.
Yeah.
Souk's in Italy and is again today. By the way, Patrick Harris is here. Say hello to Patrick Harris. He is, we like Patrick, except that he's a Coug, so don't hold that against him.
Whoa.
That's okay. Cougs never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Cougs, you know, they always get close and then they trip on their own feet and they Coug it away. See, so it's okay.
We had that conversation the other day, Joey, about like, fan bases that are just used to suffering, and I made the argument that my fan base is the number one fan base. Isaac came back with Virginia Tech.
Well, he said, "Okay, State. Here, yes, this, qualify,
please.
This is good for you to weigh in on." Okay, so
All right.
Actually, I have two questions for you about the Cougs. Now that we're spinning the hits,
I'm hot. I'm hot today.
One is okay. So the other day, he said the Cougs are the most passionate fan base that is the most irrelevant. And I...
So hold on. Before we get too far down this, I need guardrails. I need you to qualify.
Yeah.
Are we only talking about collegiate sports? Can we include the NFL? Can we... Okay, so this is only college.
Yeah. Only college, and we're talking about entire athletic fan base. So...
So it's not just football.
Cause it's typically football, but
yes,
it doesn't have to be. You know, cause I thought of Indiana, like they're super passionate, but I mean, their program hasn't done much of anything, but they have titles, but no,
yeah.
But he's right. Like the Cougs are super passionate. I mean, that is a passionate fan base. They're into it, but I mean, and it's not that they lose all the time. They don't, they've had some good seasons and some good coaches, but they're just, especially now, they're kind of irrelevant. The one that I brought up that's maybe a comp is Virginia Tech, because they are super passionate and don't really win anything.
Well, but that doesn't make them irrelevant. I would argue that the Cougs' irrelevance has to do with conference or lack thereof affiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's what makes them irrelevant at the moment. I mean, I think you could make an argument for maybe Utah. If they weren't in the Big 12, right, you could make an argument for Utah being extremely passionate but irrelevant. I think you could make, I might put Fresno State in there.
Ooh, that's
Fresno,
good.
Fresno, you know, if you're looking at like the, you know, those secondary Cal schools, Fresno's gonna be in there.
Yeah, because they are passionate down there.
Oh yeah, there've been plenty of people who've gotten beer dumped on them coming out of the tunnel at Fresno. Like,
I think
that
Souk
is...
said he got batteries thrown at him by a kid in a wheelchair there.
They also have number one overall picks, right, David Carr?
Yeah, I know all about David. Yeah,
yeah. Ironically,
that's my guy. We never spoken.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How is that?
I have no idea, and it just dawned on me. We were the same draft. He was the first pick. I was the third. I don't believe that I have ever spoken to David Carr.
Weird. Well, back then, you didn't go to the draft, right?
I chose not to, correct. Yeah, I wanted to stay home and hang out at my grandparents' house at the park and, be with family. You only got to bring six people. You had eight top, like round table. And that's all you got. And it's like, you know, I have my grandparents, my cousins, aunt and uncle, roommates. It's like, yeah, we're just going to hang around. And, you know, that was a great day, actually. We, after I got drafted and did that whole, you know, whole spiel, you know, because I didn't know when I was going to get drafted. It happened like really early in the morning, and then, you know, I hit like 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, like, now what? You know, what do I do? I wasn't leaving for Detroit till the next day, so it's like, well, let's go over to Rose City. So we took a couple six packs over to Rose City, and that was the first time I ever shot even par.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
but you never even after a game, because you guys played in the league for a decent amount of time, you never once crossed the field at the end of the game and said, hey, what's up?
I think by the time I played at Houston, he was already in New York. Or where'd he go? New York or Carolina first? I think New York. Okay. I don't know that our paths ever crossed.
That's weird.
That's wild.
Check that. Carolina against Atlanta.
Yeah, he spent that was 2007.
Yep, Jake DeLome got, I think that's when Jake DeLome had his like season-ending injury. Remember where he missed that season and David came in and played for him. But yeah, I don't know that I talked to him after the game.
You guys beat him 20-13. What a win.
Big win.
So when did you know you were going third? At what point?
At the point that I got picked third.
Really? So you? What did you think?
I've told you this story about being on the phone with the NFL executive.
Refresh our memory.
I've told you this. Okay, so we're sitting in the living room. We're at my grandparents' house, are over by Laurelhurst Park, and there's probably, you know, 50 of us at the house, and big, you know, big screen TV, and we're all just kind of hanging out. And I knew that like someplace between 3 and 16-ish, I would be potentially picked. It was Buffalo was maybe looking, and Cincy was looking, and Kansas City, and Washington. Washington ended up trading down, and then Detroit. And there were two brothers, and I cannot remember their last names. We're going to call them Smith, that were both front office executives in the NFL. One worked for the Lions and one worked for the Cardinals. And so I got the Lions are on the clock, and the phone rings, and my agent hands it to me, and he says, it's Mr. Smith from the Cardinals. And, you know, hello, hi, you know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm great, sir. How are you? I'm doing really well. So, you know, just checking in. You're excited? We're about ready to pick you. And I said, with all due respect, it's not your selection. He said, who the hell you think you're talking to? I said, Mr. Smith from the Cardinals. He said, no, this is Mr. Smith from the Lions. And so I put the phone up against my chest and I looked at my agent. I was like, it's the Lions. He's like, oh, my mistake. And then like, sure enough, like at that moment, Tagliabue says, and with the third pick of the NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select Joey Harrington, quarterback, University of Oregon. Okay. And then bing, that's when I knew I was going to Detroit.
Like, oh my
that was,
God.
I was on the phone thinking that I was talking to the Cardinals, and then like 30 seconds later, bing, I'm going to Detroit. That's no, 30 seconds later, I was going to Rose City with a six-pack. And then right. The next day.
Shooting even
two six-packs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. You thought you were going to the Cardinals. What a mind F. Like, you're sitting there going, okay, all these things are racing through your head about going to Arizona. Who was the coach there at the time? Was that Denny Green?
I can't even remember because they weren't really, but they weren't on the clock.
Yeah.
It wasn't their pick. So they're calling to say, hey, you know, we're going to pick you. And I was like, no, no, you're not. It's not, you know, there's a few people in line here. But yeah, no, it was completely had no idea what was going on. How did we get on this topic?
I don't know, but
the draft is over.
Well, I'm going to get it back because this is what I do. It's all in my head. I will get it back to the Cougs. But now I have another question. Was there a team that you really wanted to go to?
Well, I want to go to Kansas City.
Why?
Kansas City or Washington? Kansas City because it was Dick Vermeil. It was Denny Shuler. It was an incredible veteran coaching staff. Trent Green was there. you know, between you, me, and the fence post, I loved the idea of sitting for a year or two. You know, I loved the idea of, you know, pulling a, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Carson Palmer or Eli Manning, or, you know, pick your guy who got to sit and watch and then step in and play. And yeah, that just, they were the best run organization. That was, the other one that I was really curious about was Washington, because that's when Steve Spurrier was there. And Steve, my meeting with Steve Spurrier was really interesting. Like, we didn't talk football. We didn't talk, you know, anything. He's just like, yep, we chuck it around. You like golf, Joey? I was like, yeah, I like golf. And he's like, well, that's good, because every day about 2 o'clock we go play golf. It's like, what do you mean? Like, no, meetings are done. Like, what about meetings? Like, nah, we don't do meetings. We just go out and we play golf. It's like, sweet. So I, you know, ironically, it probably wouldn't have lasted very long there in Washington, but I was curious about the Spurrier's offense, you know, coming out of Florida. But yeah, that's where I wanted to go.
Or maybe it would have been greatness, you know?
Or it could
don't overthink
have been
greatness. It. You become a great golfer anyway.
There you go.
So 2001, it's 2001, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that was Arizona had Jake Plummer, and that was McGinnis was their head coach. I don't know who that is. I don't remember him. Anyway,
it wasn't Willie.
Dave McGinnis.
Dave. Okay. That's right.
We got to take a break, and when we come back, more with Joey. We'll get back on the Cougs. We got to get back on hot Cougs talk, and then Shador dropped all the way to the fifth round. We'll talk about that with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX on the Fan.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus, those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Okay, to get it all the way back to the first question, you brought up a great one, Fresno State. This is the... because Patrick Harris is here, he's a big Coug. He thinks they're the most passionate fan base that's the most irrelevant in college athletics. Fresno State's a good one. Might I toss out the FCS schools, the Montanas,
the North Dakota states. Do you think they are more or less irrelevant than Washington State because they have just as passionate fan bases?
Significantly more relevant.
Ah,
absolutely. Okay. More. I would much rather win a FCS national championship than be in a position where the Cougs are, which is in just like college football purgatory. Like, okay. There's nothing that they can do. The Bisons, the North Dakota State Bison, are that's a very relevant fan base, in my opinion.
That's what I was trying to say. Just because their coaches might leave for programs like my program doesn't mean it's a more relevant spot. It's just
using
a bump up.
Your program to get to somebody else's program.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So next question is, everybody loves the Cougs. The Cougs are adorable. Everybody loves them. When you played, power rank the hated rivals. I assume it's Washington 1, Oregon State 2, but I think back then the Beavers rivalry was really hot and heavy.
No.
Joey Five picked?
No, Beavs are 1.
Okay,
Beavs
1. Then Huskies?
They were good. Beavs were, that was Jonathan Smith, Ken Simonton, Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Barnett, Jake Kukis. That was
probably their best team.
Lawrence Grant. Oh, hands down their best team. And we, you know, and then I, five picks. Yeah. Five picks and
Joey
a fumble.
Five picks.
You know, so that was, there you go. So Beavers 1, Huskies 2. Because of the so many guys from Southern California, like probably a half of our roster was from Southern California. USC was number 3. And then I would probably put Cougs 4.
Ooh.
Because those were some good years.
Yeah,
that
coming
was
off
Jason
Ryan
Gesser.
Leaf, Jason Gesser, yeah.
We had a couple battles up there. We played in Pullman 2 years in a row, my junior year and my senior year, and both of them, one came down to the last play and the other went to overtime and came down to the last. I mean, it was those are both great, great games. And playing up there where it was like, that was when I took a leak on the sideline. And
at the hallowed grounds of Martin Stadium, you peed on the sidelines?
In the snow.
Oh, on the snow, yeah. No, it had snowed on the field, and it snowed the night before, so they plowed the field and, you know, built up the snowbanks. And the distance between the field and the visitor's locker room was too much, and so I was like, screw this. Like, I can't make it back to the bathroom, and so we just opened up one of the equipment chests as kind of like a screen, and I peed on the sideline, but it hit the snowbank, and so it, like, made this big old steam. And so, like, the entire section, like, looked straight towards me as I was taking a leak. You're new to the show, so you know that's a new story to you, but that's an old one.
Yeah. So Shador fell all the way to the 5th round. We've talked about him before. I mean,
yeah, he probably peed on the sideline too.
Well, he certainly did something wrong. But my question to you is, like, I feel like, I mean, and there's it's an interesting topic because of his dad and his, you know, kind of his personality. But I mean, if you fall that far, the league evaluates you, right? Like, they all do their homework. Even if you have red flags, if they think you can play, you're going to get selected a much higher than the 5th round. So isn't it just as simple as the league evaluated him and he just maybe isn't that great?
I don't think it's that simple.
Okay.
Here's what I think, and this is my, you know, my 2 cents.
Well, you were there. At the draft, so.
I wasn't at the draft.
Combine. You worked with a lot of the quarterbacks, so.
Yeah. Here's what I think. Call it 5 teams that needed a quarterback, that were in the truly in the market, right? 1, Cam Ward goes. And then you start, there's this, and let me guess, ask it like this. Who was it that was leading the charge on the Shador hype train? Was it NFL GMs?
Nope.
It wasn't.
Media.
Right, exactly. And with the NFL draft, it is the biggest smoke and mirrors, you know, splash a little water over here so that you don't see what's going on, you know, what I'm really doing over here. Nobody wants people to know who they're going to select. So I genuinely think once you got by that first pick, then you had that group of like 4 or 5 different guys that I would likely say maybe 2, 3, 4 guys that were all kind of in the same boat. And what I think happened is the Giants were on, you know, had the pick, and you know, all these teams are happy to have them. Other people think that they want to take Shedeur Sanders, when in reality the Giants wanted to take Jackson Dart, and in reality the Saints wanted to take Tyler Shuck. So, your point, they do their own evaluations, right? And I think there was a big three card Monty game going on that the NFL teams were happy to have somebody else thinking that, you know, people thinking that somebody else was their prize. And then you get to a point, end of the second, third round, where the teams that may have been in the market, they know that nobody else is going to come get them. Right. So if I know that the Saints aren't going to pick him, I know that the Giants aren't going to pick him, why would I use my pick right now for Shedeur when I could fill some other holes? Now, the one thing that gets to me, and I've thought about this, the one thing that confused me, and this is how I think when the Browns picked Dylan, that was the one that threw me a curveball. I was like, okay, now we got an issue. And the way that I can justify it is the Browns knew they were going to take two guys, right? Because who do they have? They literally have nobody. Deshaun's never going to play for him again. Joe Flacco is, you know, they literally had to bring him out of a coffin to keep playing. Kenny Pickett's not their answer. So this is like Washington, what, 10, 15 years ago when they took Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin.
Yeah.
One of those guys is going to end up being their guy. I think they were planning on taking two. And they said in that room, and again, this is me just, you know, trying to put pieces together. I think they said, if we take Shedeur in the third, there's a possibility that someone will come and take Dylan before we can get back to him. But the fact that everybody has passed on Shedeur at this point means that we can continue to pass on him and fill the other things that we wanted. And so I think we take Dylan now under the assumption that, you know, like we talked about, the teams that, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda taken him, they didn't. So I think he's still going to be there. I think it was a calculated risk on their part to take the other pieces that they wanted, knowing that somebody else wasn't going to come and grab them. And they ended up getting both him and Dylan. Now, why did he fall that far? You know, if I'm doing my 2 cent evaluation, I had him as a, you know, probably top of the second kind of guy. Could he have popped into the first if there was a rush on quarterback? Sure. If somebody loved him, sure. But I genuinely think that you're starting to hear stories come out about a team giving him the playbook and say, hey, study this so we can do some film work. And instead of studying it, he came in and asking how the organization was going to support him. I genuinely think that when you're making a decision as an organization to invest millions of dollars, and not just straight cash to him, but, you know, this is the person on which you are going to put the foundation of your franchise. Like this, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and Suk made a great point. Is he a guy that says, what can I do for your team? Or is he a guy that says, what can your team do for me?
Yeah.
And if you're trying, you know, if you're then making an evaluation at top of second round between talented players who fall into the first category, which is what can I do for your team, versus a talented player who may say, what can your team do for me? You know, I don't, at least for me, it makes sense. So I think you just kind of had a combination, like the perfect storm of all of those different situations come together to a point where you saw a guy fall from potentially, you know, middle of the first round all the way to the third day.
If you take away the giant personality and all the hoopla that is around Shedeur, Do we just chalk this up to a bad quarterback draft, or are we still screaming to the heavens about quarterbacks and how far they fell because of the sexiness of the position, the desire, how every team needs a franchise quarterback? Can't this just
be... What do you mean by that? Say that in a different way.
Maybe it's in comparison to last year, where you see four or five quarterbacks come off the board in the first round. And all of them, for the most part, have some success. Maybe Penix is still wait and see because Kirk started for most of the year. But can't there just be a year where it's just not as plentiful? And the only reason we're getting this is because of who Shedeur Sanders is?
I think I can agree with the first part of your statement, but not necessarily the second. I do agree that this is a year where there weren't as many like surefire first round draft picks at quarterback. And I don't necessarily think that who Shedeur is or what he has been up to this point will determine what kind of player he's going to be, right? Because again, we're still making outside of value. Like there is an assumption in this. In all of this, like, you know, we're speaking on here. Like he could still end up being a hell of an NFL quarterback. He has the talent to do it, right? It's going to be what he chooses to do from this point forward. So I do think that it is a year in which there weren't as many knock it out of the park first round quarterbacks. And I also think that these quarterbacks who were drafted later, Shedeur being one of them, could also have fantastic NFL careers.
All right, well, we're out of time. The Big Zucchini will be back next week from his Italian vacation. You know, he might have killed the Pope, Joey. I mean, we kind of buried the lead here. You know, the Pope dies, and then he shows up in Rome.
So he showed up after the Pope died.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think he killed the Pope. I think that he is a cardinal
in
hiding.
In the conclave.
Yeah.
He's there to vote.
He was the mole planted at the Mormon University, right? To infiltrate, to understand, then Pope dies, bam, come back. He's summoned back to the Vatican for the College of Cardinals. Have you seen the movie Conclave?
I have.
No.
It is called A Cardinal in... he is an appointed cardinal that nobody actually knows about because his job is in such a dangerous situation. Cardinal, we're gonna have to look this up.
Is that the Ralph Fiennes character?
He's the one who ends up being elected Pope.
Oh.
He was the cardinal of...
Nobody knew who he was, right.
Nobody knew who he was because he was in such a dangerous situation. They didn't want to reveal his true identity, which is what Suk was while he was in Provo, Utah, at the Mormon University. Suk is a cardinal in hiding.
Except for if the twist of that movie is the twist in real life. I got a lot of questions for Jason when he gets back.
we got all sorts of questions. He's not coming back. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to come back because he will be elected Pope.
Oh my God.
And he will take up residence immediately at the Vatican. He will change his name to, what do you think his Pope name would be?
Pope Iserman.
Iserman. Iserman the First. Pope Iserman the First. There it is.
Right.
Named after St. Iserman of Detroit, the incredible hockey player and somewhat mediocre general manager. I've totally killed your next segment. Sorry.
Yeah, bye. That's okay. Bye. That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX, the future of building is here. Yes, the first stick and puck coach. You hockey guys would like that. We'll have the club coming up next on The Fan.